così.
Well, last week at Joshua 3, we were looking at the Israelites having this remarkable experience where the Lord went ahead of them. Went ahead of them and stopped the flow of the Jordan in order that they could cross over. And you may recall that I touched on when you looked at the Hebrew, it was a bar experience. It was something of great significance. Well, you know, I'd like to say something just before I start in Joshua 4, and that is, I'm thrilled that some of you were listening last week. Yes, because I got an email. In fact, I had a few emails, but there was one email that particularly stood out, and it was saying, thanks for the ministry, and perhaps you could have an Abar experience yourself, Barry. Coming from the blue side over to the red side. And for any of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm a Glasgow Rangers supporter. And there's been a few folk who have made it their campaign here in Gilkeston that I changed my allegiance. So I'm wondering, for those who are wondering, if I'm going to have my Abaris experience by perhaps walking down Union Street wearing this, perhaps. Perhaps that will be my Abar experience. Something of great significance as I cross over from the blue divide to the red divide. But anyway, thank you very much indeed for that. Joshua chapter 4. The 12 stones at Gilgal. You know, 2 weeks ago or so, it was, I think, 2 weeks ago, if my calendar's right here, yes. All around the United Kingdom and in various parts of the world, people were laying wreaths and wearing poppies and having periods of 2 minutes silence to remember those who lost their lives in World War I and II, and in the Falklands War, in the Iraq War, in the various wars that had taken place. And you know, the memorial that's behind us here that recognises the people who died in the congregation from the First World War and World War II, that's got something to teach us. And what can it teach us? Well, I would hope that it would be seen first and foremost as a permanent reminder and witness of the courage of the soldiers who fought in the wars and who willingly laid down their lives for our future. And I was also told that there was another memorial, because I was thinking about memorials this week when looking at this passage, that there's another memorial on the top of a hill beside Balmoral. And it was Queen Victoria had this cairn erected to the memory of her husband, Prince Albert, who died. And every time the Queen looked out the windows at Balmoral Castle, up the hill and saw the cairn on the top, she would always think of her husband, Prince Albert. Well, as we come to chapter 4 tonight of Joshua, we'll read about the importance of remembering through memorials. Joshua was asked by God here to erect a memorial after this momentous crossing in Joshua chapter 3, and the story just continues on really into chapter 4. And you see, for those of you who aren't aware of the story, you see that prior to all this, the children of Israel had been wandering about the wilderness. They had come out of captivity and they had basically disobeyed God and had spent 40 years in the wilderness wandering about due to disobedience, and then they crossed over the River Jordan in a miraculous way and entered the place of rest. Joshua, who was called to be the leader, was instructed by God. He was instructed by God here in Joshua 4 to take 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, and for them each to take a stone. And they must have been quite significant stones because they had to carry them on their shoulders. And they had to take a stone each. from the middle of the River Jordan and set up a memorial where they were going to camp that night. And verse 19 tells us that actually where they ended up, on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. But the purpose of this memorial wasn't just a lump of stones and that was it. The purpose of erecting these 12 stones at Gilgal was to provide a witness for the mighty act that had just taken place. Remember, God had held back the flooded waters and allowed the people to cross over. And in verses 6 and 7, this was also to serve as a sign among the people for the future so that they would not forget. So it wasn't just for the now experience, but it was also to serve for the future. And it's also interesting to see that this was a sign not only for the future, but for the children. For the children in the future generations. Verses 21 and 22, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. This was going to be a sign, it was going to be seen as a reminder to the people of the greatness of God in the past. You see, this is actually a customary method of directing attention to particular scenes in the Old Testament. Not only were there 12 stones placed on the dry ground at Gilgal, but Joshua also erected 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priest's feet had been. Where the priests had stood carrying the Ark of the Covenant. But the memorial at Gilgal would be far more enduring. Because whenever the people would see that memorial, it would remind them of God's great act. It would remind them of God's great act of bringing this nation out of captivity into the promised land as had been promised to the forefathers. It would also remind them of God's mighty hand in holding back the flow of the River Jordan in the flood season. And it's also really interesting to notice something here. If we can just very quickly turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 15. In fact, let's go to verse 14. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and there reaffirm the kingship. So all the people went to Gilgal and confirmed Saul as king in the presence of the Lord. There they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration. You know, it's interesting to note where this memorial was going to be in Gilgal, that it was also the place of future national assemblies. National assemblies would be held there. Therefore, the people, when they came and they gathered together there, they would be reminded of this memorial of the 12 stones. They would be reminded of what God had done in the past whenever they saw the stone memorial. You know, there is a place for memorial, and you know, we must never forget this. These stones were to be an enduring sermon at Gilgal, directed not at the ears of the people, but at the eyes. They were to stand as a reminder to future generations that Israel crossed the Jordan, not because of their ability, nor because of their strength, nor because of their cleverness, but because of God. You know, there could have been a real danger here for the people. There could have been a real danger here for Joshua. Because actually, this memorial that they erected, they could have just stayed
there in Gilgal. They could have just stayed in that valley near the Jordan, near that memorial that they erected. They could have stayed in the shadow of the memorial stones and not moved on. And you know, sometimes that can be the case with memorials, that we make them so ritualistic that we never move on as the memorial intended us to do. Many of you know that I worked with Africa Inland Mission. Many of you know that I lived in South Africa. And you know that Africans are huge on memorials. They're huge with them, but they're so ritualistic. And in fact, to be honest with you, they're downright demonic as well. But they're so ritualistic in that a tree, they worship a tree, they bring food to the tree because the tree is meant to have some sort of significance with some sort of great act or some sort of great ancestor that lived hundreds or even thousands of years ago. They are huge on ancestral worship, and very often that will involve either an idol, or it will involve a pile of stones or a tree, or it will involve something of great significance to them. And you know, it's interesting, but I had a friend who paid a visit to the Holy Land. And he went to Mount Sinai, and he said, "I'm bringing you back a present, Barry." And I thought, right, okay, here goes. And he came back, and he said to me, I went to his office, and he said to me, "Here you go." And he hands me this, it's in a piece of, I can't think of the word, plastic here. It's a leaf. And are you ready for it? This is supposed to be a leaf from the burning bush. Can you believe it? Seriously. A leaf from the burning bush. Well, I never. But you know, there's a group of people have set up a huge business at the foot of Mount Sinai. They've built huge areas where you can worship, and where you can come and reflect, and where you can come and look at the burning bush. It's pathetic. So ritualistic. I just wonder what the Lord actually thinks of it when he sees that going on. And it's really, really sad. And so you see, for Joshua and the children of Israel, they could have just stayed in that one place, at those memorial stones, and think, right, that's us. But no. This memorial, and all the memorials that God establishes, are there to drive us on. They've not to be a millstone holding us to the past. You know, sometimes we're guilty, even as Christians, of holding on to the past, trying to reenact the past because of some particular blessing, or some particular revival took place at this particular spot, and so we have to go back there. You know, it's the same with, and please, you know, don't come and, you know, start getting into my head here at the end, you know, because I have a go at a place like Iona. But you know, you get so many people going to Iona thinking that they're going to find something. No. This memorial and the memorials that God establishes are there to drive us on. These memorials, and this memorial was not going to be a millstone and hold the people back from moving on. Memorials are good. And they're good because they act as a witness to the past. But they're also good in order that we learn from the past and move on into what God has for us now. And that's what happened here with Joshua and the people. They didn't dwell in this valley. They didn't just rest contented where the 12 stones that they set up were. They drove them on when they saw the 12 stones. They were reminded of what God's mighty hand had done for them in crossing them over the Jordan into the rest, into the promised land. But it drove them on to the next step along the great plan and pathway that the Lord had for them. In fact, this memorial and the memorials that God establishes should be seen as a stepping stone. A stepping stone that makes us go forward and not back. They realised that from this memorial, greater things lay ahead for them. And we read that further on, do we not? And I don't want to race too far ahead and take away from what Dominic will say. But, you know, we see what God did as they moved on from Gilgal to Jericho, where God took them and destroyed Jericho. You know, just think, they would have gone out of Gilgal and they'd have gone remembering all that God had done for them in the crossing of the Jordan. And that would have sent them out from Gilgal to Jericho with absolute confidence in the Lord. And when they returned from the destruction of Jericho, seeing the stones at Gilgal, well, what would that have done? It would have reminded them of another great thing that God had done for them. And you know, these stones as well would also remind them not to look back. Not to look back to Egypt. You see, that's what they did before they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. When they were getting the reports, they started grumbling, they started complaining, and they started saying, oh well, you know, perhaps Egypt wasn't too bad at all. This memorial at Gilgal would stop them from looking back to Egypt. Hence, truly they would have been like stepping stones, taking them forward, helping them get to the next point in God's plan. It's also interesting to note that this memorial was also a real provision from God to pass on to future generations. The wonderful work that God does. It's fantastic when we have the opportunity to share that. That day at the River Jordan, Joshua wanted the parents, in verses 6, let's look at verse 6 here, to serve as a sign among you in future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. And then let's go on to verse 21 of chapter 4. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. Joshua wanted the future generation to know. Joshua wanted the children to know. He wanted the parents to pass on the story to their children. You know, if ever this was a wake-up call for ourselves as parents, as to the educating of our children, when it comes to the things of God. Joshua's remarks here show us the importance of doing such a thing when it comes to the attending of religious training of our children. After all, do we not feed them? Do we not clothe them? Do we not help them in their education? So why should we as parents neglect the area of moral and spiritual training? Godliness is the best form of learning, and Joshua knew that. He knew that for the children, the deepest impressions are often created in childhood. That's why it's so essential that we pray for the work of the Sunday school. That's why it's so essential that we pray for the work of the creche. Do you realise how blessed we are? You know, when I worked for Africa Inland Mission, I travelled the country, all over Scotland. And the amount of churches that didn't have children in them, the amount of churches that you didn't need to bring a talk, a Sunday school talk, a children's address to, because they didn't have children, you're blessed. This church is blessed to have so many children. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that the seeds are planted in to their young lives. Because as I say, Joshua knew that for children, the deepest impressions are created in childhood. Yes, for some of us tonight, our children may have gone away from the Lord. But I can guarantee you one thing, that they will not forget the ways of the Lord that they have been taught in their youth. Parents, don't despair. Don't despair. Keep doing it. Keep praying with your children. Keep telling them the stories out of the Bible. It's essential. It's essential. You know, we today know that God, throughout the centuries, has also given us many signs, many memorials, many symbols. Often, just like the children of Israel, we need reminded of them. Not only reminded of them, but we also need to reflect on their importance to us. As we so often forget what God has done for us, as well as for all humanity. Look at the signs that we have in the Bible. Look at the sign that Noah was given from God. Noah was given the rainbow. A sign and a reminder to us of his everlasting love. To Abraham and the Jews, well, help, he gave him circumcision. Oh, the poor guys. But he gave them that sign as a covenant to them. He gave the Ark of the Covenant, which held the law and the manner, as a sign of his continuing provision to his people. He gave the Jewish people the temple at Jerusalem, which reminded them of his dwelling. Look at worship. It's so basic to our faith, but God has given it to us so that we can praise, worship, and glorify him. He's given us the cross. He's given us the empty tomb. These are historic statements of his love and grace. And importantly, at this time of year, our focus is upon the true meaning of Christmas, where God gave himself in human form in a stable in Bethlehem, that miracle of the incarnation. And from that came the ministry of Jesus here on earth for 33 years, which we have recorded in the Word of God. We also have his crucifixion, where he died for all mankind, and the resurrection, where he rose and offered mankind a future and a hope, where he defeated the devil and offered to us this bright future. Another memorial that we have as believers and which is remembered here in the church frequently is communion. This enables us to look back and to reflect all that God has done for us as we partake of the bread and the wine. But it also points forward. When we take of that bread and wine, this is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood poured out for many. Do this in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you do show the Lord's death till he comes again. We have a future. As we partake of that communion, yes, we're reminded of the past. And this memorial, this communion, is like stepping stones, because it also points forward to when he'll return to rule and to reign again. All these memorials remind us of the event, but more importantly, they should keep us in one place. No, when we think on them, They must move us forward. They shouldn't just keep us in the one place. They should be like stepping stones and they should take us forward. We should go forward, renewed and encouraged for the future. These memorials must help us grow and develop in our relationship with Christ Jesus. Isn't it thrilling to see God acting in past history? Isn't it wonderful to be reminded of what He's done for us in the past? These memorials, they're not millstones to us. They're stepping stones, moving us forward as He did with the children of Israel here in Joshua 4. I want to also talk, before we also close tonight, about one more memorial that should be evident within our own lives. And it is salvation. Our salvation, the time when we surrendered our lives to the Lord, is something not to forget. In fact, salvation is every bit as significant as were the 12 stones at Gilgal. The 12 stones at Gilgal, well, they endured for many generations and spoke to many people of God's wonderful act. I'm sure it must have inspired many generations, many people when they saw those stones and heard of the great provision that God had made that day. But what's your own testimony of salvation like today? Is it enduring? Is it telling of God's great faithfulness in your life? Is your testimony of how God saved you, is it blessing others? Because when we think of others that have gone before us, and we see how blessed we have been when spending time with them, it has to challenge us what we're doing with our lives. Are we desiring to bless others? Are we desiring to let our light shine in order that others may follow? You know, your salvation is not just for yourself to keep in a box. It must be shared. It must be put on show that future generations can see it and carry on as they see what's in your life and they experience it themselves and they carry on and they carry on and they move forward. Therefore, this Christmas, your memorial, that's your salvation. Make it enduring as possible. Just like the 12 stones were at Gilgal to a nation. Share your salvation with others. Let people this Christmas know the meaning of Christmas, the true meaning. It's not all about Christmas presents. It's not all about the rush and hurrying about and all the food. Our faith is not to be put into a museum and kept under lock and key. That's what museums have done with sundials. They admire what they did in past history instead of letting them out into the sunshine in order that they can be effective. No. Our faith has to shine out. Our faith has to be an enduring testimony to the future generations. Don't let your salvation be a memorial piece that's confined to history. Let people be aware of your salvation. Let people be aware of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. Let people be aware of the impact of salvation in your life and how Christ has made a huge difference to your life. Some lessons from the 12 stones. Remember God and His wonderful acts. Don't forget all that God has done. Keep thanking Him. These memorials are for future generations. Your salvation is for a future generation. It's to be shared with future generations. They're not museum pieces. Let's share the good news of Jesus with our children. Let's unashamedly do that. And also remember, these memorials, these 12 stones, they were simple. They weren't elaborate. These 12 stones from the riverbed of the Jordan, they're simple. Bread and wine to remember the Lord's Supper, it's simple. Simple, yet so significant. Take some time tonight for some thought. This week, look at this memorial, your memorials, and let the memories flood within yourself, reminding us who God is, who you are, from where have we come from, why we are here, and where we are going. Amen. In closing tonight, we're going to sing a very